You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're talking to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. That's right, Gen Z, I'm talking to you. And we are in a part two of a series about assurance of salvation. How do you know for sure if you're saved? In our last show, we asked the question, what's the main purpose for which Jesus came to earth? Did he come to earth to be a great prophet? Did he come to earth to be a great teacher? Did he come to earth to help people who are oppressed by doing works of the social gospel? I mean, why did Jesus really come? Is he just here to be an example? And my answer in our last show was that Jesus came to be a savior. And because of that, it's the will of the Father that Jesus should lose none. All of those that the Father gives to the Son will be saved. And so we're learning from John chapter 6, verses 38 through 40, that I have come down from heaven, Jesus said, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And what was the Father's will? This is the will of him who sent me, Jesus said, that I should lose nothing out of all that has been given me, but raise them up on the last day. So we concluded in our last show, just discussing this the three truths that we want to learn from this passage. The first is Jesus came to do the Father's will. And then the second truth is that the Father's will is that Jesus would lose none. So that's what we're talking about here in verse 39, that Jesus would lose none. That Jesus, you know, when we talk about why Jesus came, he came to do the Father's will. And the Father's will is that he should save those that he elected from eternity past. I mean, listen to how Harry Ironside, theologian and former pastor of Moody Church, defined eternal security. He writes this, quote, "When we speak of the eternal security of the believer, what do we mean? We mean that once a poor sinner has been regenerated by the Word and the Spirit of God, once he has received a new life and a new nature and has been made partaker of the divine nature, once he has been justified from every charge before the throne of God, it is absolutely impossible that man should ever again be a lost soul." Do you hear that, Gen Z? You can never be lost again once you've truly been saved. That's how eternal security works. That's how perseverance of the saints works. And so as we're talking about this second major heading here, the Father's will is that Jesus would lose none. Let me give you three subpoints as we look at this truth. So here we go. Number one, no Christian will ever be snatched out of his hand. No Christian will ever be snatched out of Christ's hand. In fact, he talks about that real clearly in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. This is where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So again, this passage is saying that Christ's sheep hear and they follow. No Christian will ever be snatched out of his hand. Why? Because the Father is greater than all, and no one can overcome the Father, and no one can overpower the Father, and no one can compete with the Father. So what the Father does will be done. You know, sometimes someone will say, who's struggling with, you know, assurance of salvation, they might say, well, no one can snatch me out of the Father's hand, but what if I remove myself from my Father's hand? Well, I think that is a ridiculous question, because when Jesus said, no one will snatch them out of my hand, he meant no one, including you, Zippy. So why are you playing games with what Jesus is saying? No one means no one. And so when no one can be snatched out of Jesus' hand, all that the Father gives to the Son will be saved and they will follow Christ. And since God is greater than all, no one can take you away. Not the devil, not the demons, not the one who has abused you or hurt you, not the law, not the facts that you still fall short, not tribulations or trials. No one and nothing can take you away from the eternal security that Christ provides. And that ought to be super encouraging to every person who's listening to this show today. And so not only will no Christian ever be snatched out of his hand, but a second subpoint here would be that no Christian guarded by Christ will be lost. No Christian guarded by Christ will be lost. Again, Jesus says in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 12, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled." Yeah, listen to me. Judas was lost, right? But he was never truly saved. If you're really saved today, then you can have assurance of your salvation today because Jesus guards you. This means that Jesus protects you by taking careful measures. This means that Jesus keeps you. He holds you in his hand, and he is a mighty warrior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. He is the lover of your soul, and he will never let you go. I mean, Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1:5, talking about the Christian that who are by God's power being guarded through faith for salvation that is to be revealed in the last time. So you are guarded by Christ and the power of God. You are doubly secured. You have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and will never pass away. There is no way that God the Father and God the Son will ever let you be taken away. And so if you're listening to this show today and you have been saved by grace, then you can rest assured that your future is with Christ. If you have been saved by grace, then you will also be guarded by grace until the end. So now, even though these things are true, it doesn't mean that we won't struggle, possibly. If you're listening to me, Gen Z, today, you might struggle from time to time with assurance. So let me give you a third subpoint here. No assurance can be had if you only look at your own life. No assurance can be had if you only look at your own life. Listen to me. There are a lot of people who struggle with the assurance of salvation. There are children, teenagers, college students, and adults alike who really struggle with the assurance of whether or not they are truly saved. Can I just be honest with you? I struggled with this. I struggled with my own assurance for several years. I mean, I believe that God saved me when I was 8 years old, but for the next couple of years, I kind of struggled a little bit. Can I just be honest? I was scared. My parents would sit down to watch some End Times movie, some older Left Behind movie, and I was scared to death. And I ran out of the room and went to my bedroom and closed the door. And my dad came to check on me. And I'm like, "Dad, I just don't want to think about it." You know, I was just scared. And then I came to realize that my problem was that I wasn't taking God at his word. I mean, D.L. Moody said, quote, "I believe hundreds of Christian people are being deceived by Satan now on this point that they have not got the assurance of salvation just because they're not willing to take God at his word," end quote. What does that mean, to take God at his word? Well, this is what my dad did with me, even at ages 8, 9, 10, 11, as I would struggle with assurance of salvation. He would say, "Son, do you believe that the Bible is true?" And I would answer, "Yes." And he would say, "Do you believe the Bible is clear?" And I would answer, "Yes." And he would say, "Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. Doesn't say you might be saved. Doesn't say if you do enough good works, you'll be saved. Doesn't say if you're a nice Christian boy, you'll be saved. It says, no. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't say you got to call on the name of the Lord and live a perfect life and be baptized and go to a Christian school, right? It's everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I think that those who are struggling with assurance of their salvation are struggling with one of three things. Number one, ongoing unrepentant sin in your life. If you have some type of ongoing unrepentant sin in your life, then of course you're going to doubt your salvation. You're going to think, how in the world can I be saved because I keep struggling with this ongoing sin issue? Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's cheating. Maybe it's the lust of the flesh. And so if that sin is something that you're not repenting of and fighting against, then that's going to cause you to for sure lose any assurance of your salvation. The second thing that I think causes a lack of assurance would be that young men are afraid that they haven't done enough to prove their faith. That's right. They're afraid they haven't done enough. And just listen to that very statement. That sounds like a works-based answer. If you think you're saved by doing enough good works, then you're going to struggle with assurance of your salvation because you're going to begin to think, well, what if I haven't done enough good works? I mean, maybe I haven't done quite enough to show that I have enough fruit. The third reason people struggle with assurance of salvation is, number three, they have an unhealthy introspection, questioning whether or not they really believe. That's right. They just start saying, well, what if I think I believe, but I don't really believe? So the things that I think I believe, I don't really know if I believe them or not. You know, and they just keep going round and round, contemplating their navel. You know, they're chasing their tail. And so if that's you, if you're struggling with assurance of salvation, either because of unrepentant sin or because you think maybe you haven't done enough or you have this unhealthy introspection, then I want to take you to a good place that you can go in the Bible in addition to John 6, 38 through 40. And I'm going to do that right after this break. So don't go away because we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment as he continues to dive into the assurance of salvation. What's shaping how you think right now? Because if your main sources are Facebook and X or any other social media, then I promise you one thing, you're drifting. That's why we built Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded it yet, you're really missing out. Fortis Plus is our app and you don't pay to get in. You don't pay for anything. It's absolutely free of charge and it is full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now that we are adding to every single day. Biblical voices on theology and culture and marriage and manhood and sin and sanctification. It's all there. No cute stories, no spiritual TED Talks, just real biblical truth. And it's absolutely free of charge. You'll never run into a paywall. We're not going to ask you for your credit card or anything like that. It's free today. It's free forever. And something else I want to mention, the fellows, the people that you're listening to at Fortis Plus, they're not just podcast hosts. They're not people that just grabbed a microphone. These are professors and pastors and counselors. These are people in the trenches, guys like Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, who you're listening to right now, Dr. John Kratz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, and you can find their content absolutely free at Fortis Plus. Download it right now. And hey, speaking of Dr. Greg Gifford, who I just mentioned, he's training the next wave of biblical counselors at the Masters University. Listen, if you're a young man or you're raising one, TMU should be at the top of your list. It's not just Christian in name. They are raising people to be leaders at TMU biblically, to think with clarity and a biblical worldview. It doesn't matter what you're going to school for, whether it's mechanical engineering or counseling or entrepreneurship, TMU is producing men and women who know how to think biblically. You can check it out right now at masters.edu/manhood. And one more thing I want to mention real quick. If Fortis Institute, if this ministry has been helpful in shaping your thinking and helping you to live like a man of God, would you pray about standing with us? We don't run ads around here. We run on gospel partners, people just like you who say, yeah, I believe in what you guys are doing. And I'm sure if you listen very much, you already know what I'm going to say next. Make sure you're giving to your local church first. That's your first priority. Always be faithful there before you ever give a dime to us. But if that box is checked for you and you're in a position to stand with us, we would love to lock arms with you. All of the details are available right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson as he continues to talk about the assurance of salvation. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
All right, we're talking about assurance of salvation, and we are in the thick of it here, where we've been discussing about how some people really struggle with assurance. And one place I promised you I would take you to is the whole book of 1 John. That's right, one of the best places to go in the Bible if you lack assurance is the book of 1 John. I mean, the whole theme of 1 John is in the end of the book, chapter 5, verse 13, where John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. And I believe that the point of this book is that you may know that you have salvation, that you may have assurance of the fact that if you're saved, you're truly saved. And the whole point of 1 John is not to cause you to doubt your salvation, but to expose false teachers and those who believe false doctrine and that are not really saved, and then to assure those who are really saved are genuinely born again. In fact, it's John MacArthur who lists 11 tests which are given through the book of 1 John, which help you to observe whether or not you are truly saved by just observing and evaluating your own life. Here are those 11 tests. Number one, do you enjoy fellowship with God and Christ? So you could just ask yourself, do you genuinely enjoy fellowship, being in God's presence and being together with Christ? Number two, are you sensitive to sin in your life? Please note, he didn't ask, have you removed all sin? Because we know it's an ongoing battle, but are you sensitive to sin in your own life? Number three, do you obey the scriptures? Again, maybe not perfectly, but are you seeking to obey God's word? Number four, do you reject this evil world? So by and large, do you reject the evil world and you embrace all that the Bible teaches? Okay. Number five, do you love Christ and eagerly await his return? So again, you might be a little bit scared that he could come back at any moment, but are you still eager that he would return? And number six, do you see a decreasing pattern of sin in your life? As we grow more and more in our love for Christ, hopefully we're going to sin less and less. Number seven, do you love other Christians? So do you genuinely love and pursue fellowship with other Christians? Number eight, do you receive answers to your prayers? So when you pray to God, are you getting your prayers answered? And remember, you should be praying in accordance with God's will, not just praying and rubbing the bottle, hoping a genie comes out, but honestly praying that God would be glorified in every area of your life. Number nine, do you experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit? So do you sense the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, helping you to mortify sin? Number 10, can you discern between the spiritual and between error? Can you discern between that which would be spiritually true and error? In other words, you know that salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone and not by your good works. And then number 11, have you ever suffered on account of your faith in Christ? Have you ever been persecuted in any way because your testimony is, I believe in Jesus? Now, again, think about it. These 11 tests, which are outlined by Pastor MacArthur from the book of 1 John, these are all good tests, but they only provide secondary assurance. Primary assurance only comes from looking to Christ and not by primarily looking at your own life. Because if you primarily look at your own life, you'll realize you can never do enough in order to be saved. Because salvation is not based on your own life, it's based on Christ's life. Salvation is not based on your works, it's based on God's grace. And so 1 John is really a book about not necessarily examining your own life primarily, but looking to Christ. I mean, consider 1 John 1:1, that which we heard from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So that passage is saying, set your mind on Jesus. He is the word of life. And this verse also is talking about the fact that we've seen Jesus and heard about him, and he's been around from the beginning. So focus on him. And then you have 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So remember, 1 John's not meaning to cause you to doubt your salvation, but it's reminding you that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. So this verse talks about how God's love is a free gift. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is the Christ has come in the flesh from God. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. All of this to say that you will never have assurance of salvation if you examine your own life more than you look to Christ. primary assurance is looking to Christ and believing in what He has done for you. Secondary assurance comes from looking at your life and to give an honest assessment of where your heart really is and where your life is really being lived out and what evidences that you might see as you evaluate your life. Now, listen to this quote about eternal security. As long as a believer is worrying about whether or not they are truly saved, they will never grow up in spiritual maturity. It basically guarantees that a Christian will remain stuck in spiritual infancy. Did you get that? If you're struggling with assurance, then you got to look to Christ. Don't stay stuck. If you stay stuck, then you're being spiritually immature. Why? Because you're not taking God at His word, and you're spending too much time looking at your own life and not enough time looking to Christ. It's only by looking to Christ that you'll ever gain assurance, and then you'll be freed up to minister effectively to others. And so again, we've been asking the question, why did the Father send the Son? He sent the Son to do the Father's will. And what was the Father's will? That the Son would save all and lose none that the Father would give to Him. And this leads us to our third major heading, and that's this. Number three, Jesus will raise up all of those who believe in Him. Jesus will raise up all those who believe in Him. And this is John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So what does it mean to look on the Son and to believe in Him? Well, in order for you to be raised up on the last day, you must look on the Son and believe in Him. This is an important statement because there's a difference between just looking on and believing in. You know, to look on means that you see or you observe, but to believe in means that you place your whole being, all of your knowledge, all of your assent, all of your trust. It's not a passive afterthought, but it's a commitment of your whole life. My friend, this is what God has called you to do, to believe upon Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and that the will of the Father is that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And so this means that God is going to preserve you until the very end. He will not let you ultimately fall away. He will not let you stumble past the point of no return. God will finish in you what He has started. And so He's going to do that. And He's going to bring you to genuine salvation on the last day. That means when Christ returns. The last day, it could be referring to the rapture of the church, or it could be referring to the second coming of Christ. But the point is, in the eschaton, in the end, all those who are in Christ will be saved. You'll either be taken up, caught up with the Lord in the air, or you'll be here when Christ comes back. And the main takeaway is that when it's all said and done, you will be with Christ. You will make it through. You will be glorified in heaven. You will die with Christ, dwell with Christ forever, and nothing can stop that. And so why do some people who seem to have maybe fallen away? Well, it is true, some people have gone out from us, 1 John 2:19, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Bottom line, those who defect were never saved. Those who walk away from Christ never knew Christ. Those who abandon the faith never had the faith. It's not that they were saved and then they walked away. It's that they were never saved. They may have thought they were a Christian. You may have thought you were a Christian, but if they walk away, then they were never saved, because you cannot become a Christian and then not be a Christian. You cannot lose your salvation. Why? Because the Father completes His will. And the will of the Father is that the Son would come and give to the Father all that the Father has chosen in Him. And if you're struggling with assurance of salvation, the answer is theological. Why did God send the Son? To save all of those that the Father has given unto Him. And so it's all about God the Father saving you through God the Son. And if you are here and you're struggling with assurance, again, it may be that you're basing your focus more on your own life than you are on Christ's life. So let me just ask you, are you looking for evidence by examining your own life? You should. But that's only secondary assurance. The primary assurance is look at the evidence of the resurrection, that God sent Jesus to die on a cross and take Him at His word. He's been raised from the dead. And if you call upon Him, you shall be saved. Let me pray for you. God, I pray for the young man right now listening to this show who's been struggling with assurance of salvation. And I pray if they haven't heard anything else, that they would be reminded to take their eyes off of their own life, ultimately, and look to Christ as their primary assurance for their salvation. And then as we look to Christ and look to the gospel and look to God's word, then we would evaluate our life. We would evaluate and see that we truly are born again. And so, God, I pray that you would do this work for your own glory and that you would do it in such a way that you would bring true assurance to every true blood-bought Christian. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.